In the sweltering heat of Zilveran City, survival means knowing when to lie and when to run. Saris Fane understands this better than most. When she steals a guardian's golden gauntlet, a treasure valuable enough to secure her brother Hayden's education and their escape from poverty, she sets in motion events that will transform her life forever. As she scales the eastern wall to escape, something extraordinary happens. The gauntlet whispers to her, and particles of quartz rise from the sand around her. This stolen gauntlet represents more than wealth. It's Saris's rebellion against Queen Maedra's brutal regime, where the poor receive meager water rations while the palace gleams with opulence. When her brother is cornered by guardians, Saris makes a desperate stand, killing two before being captured. In the palace's cavernous hall, Queen Maedra herself appears from the darkness, convinced Saris is an assassin sent by the mythical Fae. The queen's verdict is chilling. Not only will Saris die, but the entire Third Ward will burn for her theft. Left to die at Captain Harren's hands, Saris experiences something impossible. His weapon freezes an inch from her body, then liquefies like quicksilver. Despite bleeding out, she drags herself to an ancient sword embedded in a platform. As she pulls it free, the ground transforms into a pool of silver, and from this liquid emerges a tall man with iridescent green eyes and black armor. This death figure carries her into the pool as darkness claims her. Saris awakens in a luxurious room with painted clouds overhead. Her caretaker, Everlane, reveals she's among the Fae, creatures Saris thought were folklore. Her fatal wounds have healed completely in the Winter Palace of Yvelia, a realm that makes Queen Maedra's castle look primitive. King Bellicon explains she's here to reopen portals between worlds by awakening the Quicksilver. When Saris mentions returning home, he coldly informs her everyone in Zilveran is already dead, killed by the Bitch Queen. Her comfort depends on cooperation. The man from the Quicksilver Pool is Kingfisher, a Fae legend who addresses Saris only as Human or Little Osha. His harshness stems from banishment after an incident where a Fae city burned with nearly 200,000 souls inside. Fisher reveals Saris is an alchemist who can communicate with Quicksilver, the substance forming pathways between realms. He forces her into a blood oath to create protective relics, binding her to his will. Fisher returns to Zilveran with Carrion Swift Hayden's protector instead of her brother, showing vulnerability. The Quicksilver journey leaves him in agony, overwhelmed by voices, with only his mother's pendant shielding him from madness. At Kalish, his ancestral estate, Saris begins transforming nearly 15,000 silver rings into protective relics in Fisher's forge. In quiet moments, Fisher reveals affection for his fire sprites and the burden of impossible choices. Their antagonism gradually transforms into attraction. Training sessions feature electric touches and lingering glances. Their passionate encounters leave them marked with god bindings, ancient symbols that shimmer before fading. Fisher explains these marks are sacred bonds from mythology, where gods blessed chosen lovers, though such tales ended tragically. With rare vulnerability, he reveals his mother, a powerful oracle, prophesied Saris's arrival centuries ago, a woman who would come blazing into his life like a meteorite and light up hell itself to guide him from darkness. Beyond Kalish's ancient walls lies a world ravaged by conflict. Fisher and General Renfus lead Fae warriors against the Sanothrothian vampires, once noble Fae who embraced darkness for power and immortality. Their leader Malcolm commands vast undead legions massing along the frozen Darn River. Malcolm claims recent conversations with Fisher, sowing distrust among warriors already uneasy about their commander's century-long absence and questioning his loyalties. When Sanothrothian feeders attack Kalish during a meal, Saris witnesses Fisher dispatch these nightmarish creatures with their waxy skin and elongated fangs. She learns their crucial weakness, only silver can kill them. The conflict becomes personal when Malcolm captures Everlane, subjecting her to his enthralling bite, a curse fatal within 3 days unless cured. This calculated strike reveals Malcolm's strategy, breaking Fisher by corrupting his loved ones rather than confronting him directly. When Fisher learns of Everlane's capture, he faces an impossible choice. Despite recognizing the trap, he surrenders himself, leaving his godsword Nimeral behind and attempting to release Ceres from her blood oath before journeying alone to Gilithrae, the ancient city whose destruction haunts him. Refusing release, Ceres follows Fisher through a shadow gate with Lorith and Carrion. In Gilithrae, they discover a horrific amphitheater filled with thousands of eternally burning corpses, all chanting, "Anoroth Mor, release us!" At the center stands Fisher, confronting the complete triumvirate: Malcolm the Blood Prince, Bellicon the Shadow Lord, and Queen Madra the Twilight Sovereign, siblings whose legendary feud was merely elaborate theater. Their supposed enmity, which had shaped realm politics for generations, was all deception. Fisher reveals that during the Festival of First Song, he discovered Bellicon in Malcolm's alliance. To save the city, Fisher accepted Bellicon's bargain. A coin toss would decide Gilithrae's fate. The cruelty came when Malcolm snatched the falling coin, leaving the bargain eternally unresolved. Fisher leads the group through Malcolm's obsidian labyrinth to face the Triumvirate, who declare, "We are the Triumvirate, three crowns sharing one source. To kill one of us, you must kill us all." The battle shifts when Carrion reveals himself as firstborn son to Rurik and Amelia Dianthus, his blood toxic to Malcolm. This distraction allows Ceres to recover Fisher's original silver coin from a demon's throat. Despite Malcolm's attempt to seize it, Ceres reclaims and flips the coin, releasing generations of trapped spirits from Gilithrae. In the final confrontation, Ceres beheads Malcolm with Solace, causing him to erupt in blue flames. Victory demands sacrifice. Ceres suffers a mortal wound, forcing Fisher to save her through transformation. Hovering between life and death, Ceres meets Zareth, god of chaos, who reveals that she and Fisher create an axis of power that attracts equal destruction. Through visions, he shows her countless futures, each ending in devastation across multiple realms. When Ceres awakens, she discovers she's undergone the Great Purge, a transformation making her an unprecedented hybrid, half vampire, half fae, with pointed ears and elongated canines. Taladeus bit her moments after Gilthry's attack, creating this supernatural metamorphosis. Carrion reveals he's an ancient fae smuggled from Yavelia during Bellicon's purge, with swift women serving as his guardians for generations. Fisher brings news that T'Lena and Isabel can remove his quicksilver contamination. By killing Malcolm, Ceres has triggered an ancient succession rite and must become queen of Sanus Roth, ruling a kingdom that may reject her hybrid nature. From her chamber, Ceres gazes at Amontreath, the fortress built from ancient demons' bones, contemplating her journey from pickpocket to ruler. Her bond with Fisher transcends mere romance, defying the laws of both realms. Their love represents both salvation and catastrophe for the balance between worlds.